that my Lord I sing, just over in the glory land. And with kindred saved and forever be, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory. Mighty host I stand, just over in the glory land. With the blood washed throne I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad Hosanna to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel. Just over in the glory land. Oh, let's worship the Lord this morning.
Time. Change for our God. Deacons, help me this morning, if you would. Let's worship the Lord in our giving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Thank God. Appreciate the choir trying to get you to worship today. Amen. Amen. I appreciate their efforts so much. Amen. To try to get you to worship the Lord. Amen. But how many knows it really shouldn't take much to get us to worship the Lord? Amen. You should have brought your praise with you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give us unto the Lord today. God bless you for your giving, your faithfulness. Amen. To the work of the Lord. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Come on, sing for us if you would this morning. Even remember Thursday night and Friday night is the Easter program, and invite somebody to be with you in the house of the Lord, and it's going to be a great, great time. So remember that Thursday night, Friday night, 7:30, and if you don't have a ticket and you've already given them all out, still invite somebody to be with you. They can show up. They don't have to have a ticket to get in, just a way to get folks to come and remember to come. So remember that Thursday night and Friday night, a lot of work gone into it, and you can kind of see some of the props already this morning. But I just am excited to see the program, and just excited to see what the Lord will do with that, and anoint each and every one, and pray the Lord would use it to reach someone's heart Thursday night and Friday night. So remember that if you would, and in conjunction with that, they'll be getting set up Wednesday night. So we're going to dismiss the midweek service, and we'll be here Thursday night and Friday night, all right? So remember that if you would. Amen. Let's worship with the Kellys this morning.
On a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to that cross, great was the pain and the loss, he suffered it all, because he loved me, oh, because he loved me. My Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love my mortal man has ever been known. All praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all.
he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me.
Then they carried him away, placed him in a lonely grave. Surely they thought that they had seen the end of this man. But on that third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Oh, because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all. Lonely grave. Surely they thought that they had seen the end of this man. Oh, but on the third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Oh, because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Lift your hands and let's love the Lord this morning. Can we, church? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of Calvary. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that song. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. Mark chapter number 2. Verse number 1, reading down through the 5th verse. Amen. I read Mark's account this morning. Of course, Matthew and Luke also have this story recorded in their Gospels. Mark 2 and 1, and again he entered into Capernaum. And after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. A familiar story to us, but a few things I'd like to bring to your attention today. God bless you as you're seated today. Familiar story to us, but three things that about the that group of four that inspire me that I want to talk to you about in just a minute. But as we get there this morning, one thing I can't help but notice how attractional Jesus was in his ministry. For the Bible said that the room where he was teaching and preaching was full. And the Bible says that he was preaching the word unto them. Verse number 2 said he was preaching the word unto them. I believe it is Luke's account that said that he was teaching doctors and Pharisees. This same account, he was teaching doctors and Pharisees. But they both account that the room was filled. Right before this story, the Bible teaches us that Jesus had healed a leper. He had healed a leper. And we understand and we readily read through accounts that Jesus was so attractional in his ministry that the room was always full, the crowd was always large when Jesus was passing through. There was something magnetic about Jesus, whether it was a doctor, a Pharisee, whether it was a leper, whether it was homeless, a prostitute, it didn't matter. There was something magnetic about the life of Jesus. There was something about him attractively that people responded to the ministry of Jesus, the teaching, the preaching, the magnetism of his character, the integrity of his life. And it's still that way today. It's still that way. Even when they sing and preach about Jesus, I'm attracted. I'm magnetized by him. The scripture said, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." There's still something about that name of Jesus, isn't there? I said, there's still something about that name of Jesus. Amen. That name of Jesus. He is my Savior. That name of Jesus. He is my Redeemer. Amen. That name of Jesus. Amen. How many of us realize we'd either be on our way to hell or we would be in hell today if it had not been for that name of Jesus? Shout that name with me today, Jesus. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So whatever station of life you find yourself today, amen, Jesus is attractional. He is invitational. His first word was come, come, come. The end of his life was go. He challenges us with a commission, but the beginning of his life was come. It was come. I'm glad he said unto all of us, come, come. We could lay our burdens down. We could lay our sins down and be forgiven. I'm glad he changed my life. Amen. He changed my life. I'm glad to know Jesus this morning. And so the Bible teaches us in this story, in this narrative, that the crowd was full. The crowd was large. The room was packed. And Jesus was preaching the word. He was preaching the word unto them. The Bible said that he was teaching. He was preaching. He was teaching. And in the hour in which we live, it seems as if there is a biblical illiteracy among many. There are some that even grab to the strain among us that there are only certain parts of the Bible that you should preach, that there are those inside of some of sects of our movement that say that only the life of Christ and the gospel should be the only thing that we should give counsel to. But the Bible said that Jesus preached the word unto them. When he met those on the road to Emmaus, the Bible said that he went back and he preached beginning at Moses, and he come down through the prophets. He preached the entire Old Testament, and he come down to Christ. Paul said emphatically in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. I realize that Jesus is the theme of all scripture, but how many realize this morning that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Amen. I want to preach from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. I want to interpret it and preach the theme of Jesus, but all scripture this morning, friend, all scripture is inspired and God breathed of God. And Jesus certainly preached the Old Testament, and it's just as infallible as the New Testament as well. And so even Paul preached and gave to us the doctrine of the New Testament. And so it would be unwise for us to remove that, and it would be unwise for us to neglect that. It would be foolish for us. Matter of fact, let us even ask ourselves the question, why would the council have put the scriptures in the canon of scriptures if God would not have intended for us to have the word of the Lord? There's a reason why we have the scriptures today. 66 books, 1,500 years spread by 40 authors in 3 languages and 3 continents. But how many realize, without mistake, amen, it is infallible, it is immutable, it is inherent, it is God-breathed. You can trust it with your eternal, never-dying soul. It is the word of the living God. And so Jesus preached the word of the Lord. And so this morning, let us preach the word of the Lord, but not just preach it, let us live the word of the Lord. And so something grabbed the ears of either one or four of these friends, because they said that Jesus was in Capernaum teaching. Right before this, he had healed a leper, and the Bible said that it blazed throughout the community so much that Jesus could not even come into the community because of the crowd. And so he retreated to a desert to be alone. He went into a desert just to be by himself. Isn't it amazing? We preach to try to get out of the desert, but Jesus preached to get into the desert to get some alone time. But he comes out of the desert and into Capernaum, and the crowd fills the auditorium or the house, wherever that he is preaching. And something inside of either one or four of these friends pierces their ears, and they decide to try to take their friend to Jesus. I want to preach about 3 things that inspire me about the friends. We've heard the story, and I love to preach the story because there's so much about it. There's so much even about our culture, and so much about our lives and the audaciousness of the audacity of our faith, really, that inspires us from stories such like this in Scripture. But the first thing about these friends that really inspires me is their unity. The Bible said that all four friends, the Bible said in verse number 4, that this man that is sick of the palsy, he is born, or he is carried of the four. So it seems that if he is, one writer says that he's on his couch, this says he's on his bed, that it seems as if all four have a corner of the bed, that he is carried on his bed, that each of the four have a post of the bed, and they're carrying this man to Jesus. Now get this picture in your mind as we're in first century Palestine, and Jesus is teaching in an auditorium filled with Palestinians and doctors, and he is unfolding the deeper truths of the law, and up coming the street is four friends with a man dying of palsy, and he's stretched out on his bed, and there's four desperate friends, and you stop them and say, "What are you doing? We're going to get to Jesus." No, he is busy right now. He's busy with the doctors and the lawyers and the Pharisees, but you don't understand.
Jesus, he's got time for the lepers. He's got time for the outcast. He's got time for the palsy. Yeah, he's got time for the Pharisees and the doctor. That's what I love about Jesus, because he doesn't play class warfare. It doesn't matter where you find yourself on the economic rung. It doesn't matter whether you dropped out of third grade or you got more degrees behind your name than a thermometer. It really doesn't matter with Jesus, because he said, "Whosoever will, let him come unto me." It really, really didn't matter to Jesus. And so here's these men, and they're carrying their friend to Jesus, but and their unity strikes me. Their unity, that cooperative spirit, grabs a hold of me, because I've been in plenty of church services where you couldn't get anybody that seemed on the same page to have a move of God. That if it wasn't them singing or them preaching or if it wasn't just floating their boat or it just wasn't going their way. But these four men had one thing in mind, and it had nothing to do with their own needs. It had everything to do with the need of their friend. That's what impresses me about the story. They're not trying to get anything about it. They're not trying to get anything from Jesus for themselves. They've got a friend. They've got a situation that they want their friend to get healed. Oh, I'd love for that spirit to break out in the house of God this morning, that you and I would not worry about what we get from Jesus for ourselves. But if you'd look to the person sitting beside you, or you'd worry about the person sitting behind you, and you'd say, I would that God would help them this morning. I wonder what kind of church service it'd be. If you'd help that friend get to Jesus. If you'd help your brother and your sister get to Jesus. If you'd say, Lord, I'm not worried about if I get my need met, but if the person beside me, or if the person behind me, if they could get what they need from Jesus, that I'll be happy this morning in the house of the living God. Hallelujah. They were born, this man was born of four. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They decided the faith that must have rose up inside of their hearts. It's early in Jesus' ministry. Now this story to me finds itself more inspirational, because it's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, more so than at the end of Jesus' ministry. We don't have a long catalog of miracles that he's done. We're at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So there's something even more inspirational about it, that these men are early believers. And they're not mimicking. It's not like everybody else is carrying a bed to get to Jesus. It's not like they've seen anybody else do this. But there's just something, the way the news spread that Jesus healed a leper. That's the close of the previous chapter. Jesus healed a leper. Jesus healed a leper. Jesus healed a leper. Jesus healed a leper. Matter of fact, Jesus told the leper, don't go tell anybody. Go home. No, but the leper, you know what the leper did? He started telling everybody, and the word was, it blazed through the community. It blazed through the community like a wildfire. It blazed through the community. I would to God the good news of the gospel. I would to God that the good news of what God did, gossip blazes like a wildfire. Criticism blazes like a wildfire. Hallelujah. There's some folks that before you get out of church, there's already things going on they know about. It blaze. There's sinners that don't even go to church that know more than some of you sitting on a church pew. There's backsliders sometimes that'll ask me questions that I don't even know. I don't even know how they know, except somebody sitting on a church pew blazes like a wildfire. And it's not the good news of the gospel. God bless all four of you. Said amen right there. Hallelujah. But the leper said, I can't, I've got to tell this. I've got to tell what Jesus has done. And so something pierced their heart. Did you know that Jesus touched, he physically touched the leper? And so those four men said, he touched the leper. He didn't speak the word, but Jesus touched the leper. You're not allowed to touch the leper, but Jesus touched the leper and he didn't become unclean. There's something about this man, Jesus. There's something, and that news began to spread, and so the faith began to rise up inside of them, and they said, now if we're going to do this, we're going to have to do it right now. And so expedience rose up inside of their heart. If they said, we're going to do this, we're going to have to carry him to Jesus. We're going to have to be selfless. We're going to have to not worry about ourselves, but we're going to have to carry him. We're going to have to cooperate. I don't know how heavy this man was. I don't want to speculate, but let's just look around this morning. What if some of you were bedridden? Amen. Let's leave it right there. It'd be a bigger job for some than others. Amen. So I don't know how long they had to carry him, and I don't know how much weight they had to carry, but they had to be selfless, and they had to cooperate, and they had to sacrifice. We're not told how long the journey was, but they had one thing in mind. They knew where Jesus was, and they knew the only answer was Jesus. Our friend is dying, and if he healed the leper, and if Jesus could do that, then I've got to believe he could heal this. And so they picked up their friend and said, let's get him to Jesus. Amen. Friend, this morning, why don't you get up underneath the bedpost of your friend? Why don't you get up a corner of your bedpost? Why don't you get up under the corner of this service and say, I'm going to push this service. I'm going to push this church. I'm going to push this message. I'm going to push the work of God forward. I want folks to get help when they come to church. I want folks to get healed. I want folks to get saved. I want folks to get delivered. I want folks to be baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. But most of us, we got to agree right here. Most of us come to church worried about what we're going to get. Now, some folks come to church just to see and catch up and, you know, speculate on what everybody else. I understand. That's a small segment. But a lot of folks come to church just to try to get what can I get from Jesus? That's not this story. If the only time you pray in the altar is praying for yourself, this story ought to challenge you. If the only time you ever go to Jesus is on your own needs, this story ought to challenge you. There ought to be some time in your Christian walk you stop by somebody's pew and say, come on, let me go pray with you. If you've been saved 20 years, you ought not stand around the altar blowing bubble gum. You ought to get underneath somebody's bed and say, come on, let me help get you to Jesus. Let me show you. I've been through what you're going through. I've been exactly where you're at. Amen. If you come out of a dysfunctional family, you ought to find a dysfunctional person and say, let me show you what Jesus did for me. Instead of riding that crutch, why don't you show somebody what Jesus brought you out of? Preach, pastor, I will. Why don't you show somebody what Jesus brought you out of? Instead of riding that crutch, amen, why don't you use it to help somebody else? Why don't you get up underneath the bed and help carry somebody else to Jesus? Instead of trying to get, and gimme, my name is Jimmy, why don't you say, hey, I've been healed, I've been delivered, I'm strong enough to carry somebody. Amen, let me bear your burdens. Let me help get you to Jesus. Let me show you what I know. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. If we're going to do it, we got to do it right now. Jesus is here right now. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to do it selflessly. We're going to have to do it cooperatively. We're going to have to do it sacrificially. Oh, I am inspired by their unity. I'm inspired by their unity. I am inspired by their audacity. This is early in Jesus' ministry. How audacious was it to carry a bed to get to Jesus? Audacious means boldness or daring, especially with confidence or arrogant disregard for personal safety, conventional thought, or other restrictions. All the way, I don't know how long they've got to walk to get to Jesus. I don't know. But they're walking to get to Jesus. They're walking to get to Jesus. Did you hear what he did for the leper? Did you hear what he did for the leper? He's going to do it for you. Did you hear what he did? Then they get to the door of the house. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Hashtag gave it our best try. Hashtag try next week. No, I'm inspired by their audacity. Who in their right mind would do what they're getting ready to do? Oh, come on. Oh, hallelujah. I know some like dead church. I know they'd be comfortable going to a Lutheran church. I know it. But oh, this right here messes up the program. I said this right here messes up the program. Oh, when you really got a need, when there's really something reverberating in your life, what in the world gives them the right to think? They could say, somebody in that group says, you know what? You know what? If we crawl up. Now, first century Palestine, more than likely they had an outside staircase going up to a flat roof. Somebody in that group said, you know what? If we probably crawl up that staircase and get to the top, we could probably walk out on that roof, and then we could probably start ripping off the shingles. Who in their right mind? There's probably somebody in that group says, we might get a ticket. We might get thrown out. We might get in jail. I don't know. The deacons probably tried. I don't. Who knows? Who knows? Or maybe all four of them come in unity. Amen. But don't you know the two guys at the bottom are saying, hey, I don't think this is a very good idea, because that weight is going to shift down. And this big boy that's on this bed, however big that he is, he's carrying dead weight anyway. But if we go up, you ever try to carry a piano going upstairs? The guys on the bottom, if you're going up, it just got worse at the bottom. The last thing you want to do is go upstairs. It's bad enough carrying this joker for however long that you had to carry him. But if you got to go upstairs, my job just got harder. But it doesn't matter. Amen. When they come to the door and they could not come in for the press, many would turn around and go back home. But there was something audacious inside of them. There was something that rose up that said, we're going to crawl up that staircase. We're going to walk out on that roof, and we're going to rip off the shingles. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not suggesting that you swing from the chandeliers or rip off the roof. But my God, this morning, do we have to sit like wooden Indians? Do we have to sit week in and week out? Do we have to sit unmoved by the Spirit of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And one thing you will not find in the story is a rebuke from Jesus. It's not there. You will find a rebuke for not praising the Lord in another passage of Scripture. You might get rebuked for sleeping in church. You might get rebuked for not praising in church. You might get rebuked for not shouting in church. But you will not get rebuked for trying to get to Jesus in church. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to get to Jesus. I said, I got to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You pray every service you pray for a healing. I'm looking for the service when you interrupt service. like right now, when you bolt to the altar and say, I don't want to leave till I get healed. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an interruption. Sometimes when Brother Jeff DeMello shakes out of that pew and says he feels the Spirit of God moving. Amen. Who knows, that might not be the service when we've shelved the program and he's trying to get to Jesus for a healing for a sick daughter. Amen. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus saw them, I am inspired by their certainty. For notice this, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, you didn't see it. When Jesus saw their faith, I got faith, Pastor, when he saw, when he saw, when he saw. They've had to crawl up the staircase, walk out, and rip off shingles. When he saw that conviction in action, when he saw that certainty, as the ropes start coming down, when he saw that bed descend, when he saw that, when he saw that, their faith got him healed. Their faith got him healed. I said, their faith got him healed. Who knows, you moving might get somebody else healed. To the contrary, your lack of faith might be keeping somebody else from being healed. You ever been in a service where you felt like you were stepping over dead men's bones? You ever felt like you were in a service where you were stepping over carcasses of dead people that had backslid 20 years ago? When you wanted to obey God, but you were worried about what everybody else thought? Jesus was inspired by their certainty. It took conviction to crawl up there. It took conviction to rip off those shingles. It took conviction to lower down that bed. And when Jesus saw that, he healed him. When he saw it. Not when he heard it. When he saw it. If heaven looked down today, what does heaven see? Does heaven see our faith? Does heaven see our audacity? Does heaven, the choir trying to get us to worship. The choir trying to get us into the presence of God. Does heaven see our certainty trying to get to Jesus? Does heaven see that? Does heaven see our zeal? Does heaven see our excitement trying to get to Jesus? Does heaven see that this morning? What does heaven see? What does heaven see? What does heaven see? Does heaven see our unity? Does heaven see you trying to get up under the corner of your post of your bed saying, I got a friend. Hey, we've got some situations in our church going on. I'm not the guy on the bed right now. I don't have the paralysis, but I tell you what, preacher, amen, I'll get up underneath the bed. I'll carry the bed. I'll pray right now. Amen, I'm feeling good right now, but I tell you what, I'll carry the bed. I'll push this service. I'll do what I got to do right now. Anybody willing to carry the bed? Anybody willing to carry the bed? Anybody willing to lower him down to Jesus? Anybody willing to push him to Jesus? Anybody willing to be that person this morning? I said, anybody willing to be part of the four? And can I get some four this morning? Anybody willing to be one of those four? Say, I'll be the one. I'll be that one. I'll be that person this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I'll be that one that'll carry the bed. I'll be that person that'll pick up the post. I'll be that person. Hallelujah. Well, if you've got a need, I got people standing right now. So hold the crowd right where you're at. Because I believe the people that stood obeyed God. You got a need in your life. and you really want to get to Jesus, you really, 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 we're going to do it this morning. Brother Martin, you can come on and help me. You're going to do it this morning. Not next week. Jesus is preaching, teaching. We got to do this right now. You've got a need in your life you want fixed this morning. I want you to lift your hand and hold it up real, real high. There might be 3, 4, might be 10. Hold it up real high because I'm getting ready to do something right now. Those of you that are standing that said, I need you to be one of the four. Sister Rachel, I'm going to need you to be one of the four. I don't have enough stand to do what I need to do. The hands that are lifted right now, I need you to go get them. If you're a lady, sisters, go get those with their hands lifted. Brothers, go get those with their hands lifted. If you're sitting, I want you to remain sitting. I want you to go get them. Bring them to the altar right now. 4 on 4, 4 by 4, 4 by 4, 4 praying with 1, 4 praying with 1, 4 praying with 1 right now, 4 praying with 1 right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. I've 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 got to get to Jesus. Only He can solve this. Church, would you join me?
I've got to get to Jesus.
Would you join me right now?
Get to Jesus.